Hare Krishna. So we welcome all of you to the Chetna festival. Can all of you hear? Can everyone at the back hear? Yeah? Okay. So first of all, before I start, I would like to say that I am not at all qualified to speak on this subject of art of forgiveness. I am here to speak to you what I need to hear myself. So I'm also learning with you when I'm speaking. And I'm simply repeating the words of my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Why I chose this topic is, I realized what is the importance of learning to forgive in my own life. So many times, so many situations, we become so negative. We become so depressed because we can't forgive. We carry that burden in our heart. And because I have gone through these situations myself, I felt that maybe this would be a topic that would help all of us, including me. So I'll start with one story which I heard many years ago by His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, who is a very, very senior sannyasi in our congregation. So once there was a king and his wife, and they were very good people, very pious, very virtuous. Let us call them Mr. Good. Okay, Mr. Good and his wife. And they ruled the kingdom very, very nicely. And their neighboring kingdom, there was a king, he was Mr. Bad. Okay, he was very envious of Mr. Good. And he had an eye on his kingdom. He wanted to capture his kingdom. So he made plans that I want to expand my territory. I will capture this king's kingdom and I will kill the king and his wife. So somehow through his spies, Mr. Good, king, he came to know about this. And he was a man of God. He decided, why should I engage in unnecessary warfare, bloodshed? I'm not attached to this kingdom anyway. So he told his wife, before the king attacks, let us go away from here. I'm not interested in fighting. So many people will unnecessarily be killed. Let us go away. So overnight they left. They fled the kingdom. And his wife was pregnant. So they took shelter at some place and his wife delivered. They had a son whom they raised very nicely with very good samskaras. Meanwhile, Mr. Bad, as nature would have it, he was not satisfied with just getting the kingdom. He said, there was no bloodshed, you know. Maja nahi aaya. There was no fun. You know, why did the king run away like that? If I would have killed him and I would have got the kingdom, then it would have been much more pleasure, much more fun. So he told his ministers, send our spies. Find out where that king and his wife have gone. You know, I can't rest in peace till I have got them and killed them. So the spies went and they actually found the king and the queen. And they were brought to this man's kingdom. And publicly he announced that this king and his wife, they are going to be killed today. And all the people in his kingdom were also sadistic, like him. So when they were being flogged, one young man on horseback came there. And the king, that is, we are talking about Mr. Bad, he said, who is that man? Seize him, catch him, capture him. But that young man ran away from there. And the king and his wife were killed. For no fault of this, just for this man's sadistic pleasure. They were killed, and when the funeral pyre was lit, again one young man came there and he circumambulated the funeral pyre. And this king was wondering, who is this man? Capture him. But again he escaped. So many years passed. That man was their son. He was the son of the king and the queen. After many, many years he came to this kingdom. And he approached many people that I want a job. So many people asked him, what is your talent? What can you do? So he said, I can sing very beautifully. I can sing very nicely. So one day he was singing and somehow the king heard him sing. So he was very attracted. Oh, what a pleasant voice, what a melodious sound. So he called this young man. He said, I want you to sing for me. So the man said, okay. So every day he would come, he would sing, and he would sing one particular song which would make the king very uneasy. Something would happen to him in his heart, you know, when he would hear this song. It was a very sad song. But it was very beautiful. So he didn't feel like telling him not to sing. And many years passed. And the king became very attached to this boy. And one day they had gone out somewhere. He had gone for a stroll. And he told his boy, I want you to come with me. And they were just sitting far away from the palace. And the boy had, he was sitting and the king just lay down. He said, I'm tired. And he put his head on this boy's lap. And he said, you know, I want to share with you something that I have never told anyone before. So the boy said, what is it? So he said that many years ago I performed a very heinous crime. I did something very, very horrible which I should not have done. I don't know what made me do it, but I did it. And he told him how he had killed this king and queen for no fault of theirs. And he said, now I feel bad about it, but there's nothing I can do. And immediately this boy, he took out, he had a sword hidden. He took out the sword and immediately he put it on the king's neck. And he said, I am the son of that king and queen. You know. So then the king immediately remembered that there was one boy who had come and circumambulated the fire. But he had not seen him at close quarters, so he couldn't recognize him. So the king became scared because he said, now this boy is going to kill me, obviously. So he started crying. He said, please don't kill me. I'm very sorry. You know, I will give you this, I will give you that. Don't kill me. So this boy, he withdrew his sword and he said, I didn't want to kill you anyway. That was not my intention. He said, but I wanted you to realize what happens to the people whom you kill. What happens, the pain, the fear, the trauma that they go through. And also, I wanted that hatred which is in you to go. Why do you have so much hatred in your heart? Let it go. And the boy says that when you were about to kill my parents, I had come there. And he said, I am so well trained in military warfare. Easily I could have, you know, fought with you and killed you at that moment. But my father, through his eye moment, he indicated to me that, it's okay. Let go. Just leave it. Whatever is the Lord's will, let it happen. That's why I didn't kill. And he said, the song that you ask me, what I sing, he says, this is a song taught to me by my father. It's about forgiveness. He says, I forgave you the day you killed my parents. I have nothing in my heart, but I want you to learn. I wanted you to learn this lesson. That's why I came here. And then he goes away. So we see that so many times we carry malice or we carry anger in our heart for such a long time. In fact, sometimes for generations together, you know, certain communities hate each other for centuries. They hate each other. They are not able to give up the malice or the resentment that they have against each other. We hear so many stories about saints who forgive, but we are not able to apply it in our own lives. Why? Because this is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. There is going to be quarrel and hypocrisy everywhere. One of our very senior brahmacharis, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he always gives an example. He says that when he was going by train once, the one man was sitting on the fourth seat. And the person who was sitting in the middle, he wanted to remove something from his pocket. You know how it is, it's so squashed. So he couldn't remove maybe his hanky or mobile, something from his pocket. So he stood up to remove. And as soon as he stood up, this man shifted and somebody else sat there. So he said, look, I was sitting here. I just got up for a minute. Please let me sit. He said, no. Abhi ho gaya. That place is gone. So they started fighting. The person who sat and this man, they started fighting. They fought and nobody was sitting on that seat. They were fighting. Nobody, that seat was empty. Nobody else dared to sit on that seat. Then one of them wanted to get down at Matunga station. So the other one also got down. The train left and still they continued fighting. So that's what happens. We lose focus. What we are fighting for, that also we forget. We just continue fighting. And that's going to be because this is Kali Yuga. It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's like the law of gravitation. Things are going to fall. You know, things are going to come down. How much can you fight against it? You have to really struggle to keep things in a certain place. Otherwise, naturally, it is going to fall down. So there are going to be conflicts. And everywhere we see, today if we see in the paper, there are conflicts on the family level, every day we are seeing in families so many problems. Social level, communal level, on the national level, even in spiritual organizations, we see that there are conflicts everywhere. And why? Why do conflicts occur? The main reason for conflicts to occur is because we want to enjoy. Right? We want to enjoy. We want to control. And when that doesn't happen, we get disturbed. We want to enjoy something, and when someone interferes with our enjoyment, we get agitated. We get disturbed. We get angry. We get frustrated. I deserve this. I deserve that. You know, I deserve this. Why didn't I get it from that person? We have so many expectations from different people or from different sources, and when those expectations are not fulfilled, what happens? We get frustrated. And the frustration leads to anger, and then there are conflicts. And what happens? Sometimes, like that, see it in the train, we don't even get it. We just continue fighting. We don't even get what we are fighting for. Unnecessarily, we suffer pain, so much anger, resentment, hatred continues in our heart, and we don't even get what we are fighting for. So in this material world, if we need to maintain relationships, because there is conflict everywhere, it's going to happen. If we really want to have friendships or we want to maintain relationships, then we have to learn to forgive. If we don't forgive, forget relationships. You will have to forget relationships. It is just not possible that you will not forgive and a relationship will continue. You have to learn to forgive. So what happens when we don't forgive? It is explained that if somebody throws a piece of hot coal at you, burning hot coal, and you pick it up, and you're angry, you know, this person has thrown hot coal at me, and you're holding it in your hand and saying, oh, this person has thrown coal at me, and I'm going to do this, do that to this person. But you don't realize what's happening. Your hand is getting burnt because of the coal. Who's asking you to hold the coal? Throw it. Just throw it. It's up to you. You have the independence to decide whether you want to hold it or you want to throw it. Unnecessarily, you are harboring these feelings of hatred, resentment, vengeance, revenge in your heart, and that is simply like poison. I remember many years back I heard this example that once one mother was very angry. She just had a fight, and then she fed her baby milk and the baby died because the milk had become toxic. It had become poison because of her anger, because of her feelings. So doctors say that when we are stressed, when we are angry or when we are upset, it affects us on various levels. It affects us emotionally. We lose our emotional stability. It affects us mentally. It affects us spiritually, and it affects us physically. It is said that diseases like asthma and cancer, the main cause for that is suppressed feelings. When we feel that we are being suppressed or we are very angry and we are not able to express our feelings, then one of the causes is asthma or cancer. So it has such a negative influence on our body. So when we have this poison within our body, what happens? First of all, it destroys all virtue. We lose sense of what is right and what is wrong. For example, we have this example of Duryodhana. Duryodhana, when he was in Indraprastha, you all must be knowing that story, that a beautiful palace was built. And there was one wall which didn't look like a wall, and he banged into it. There was a pool. It looked like a pool, but when he stepped on it, it was hard ground. And when he went ahead, it looked like ground, and when he stepped on it, it was water, and he fell inside the water. And Draupadi laughed loudly. And he couldn't forgive her for that. And because of that hatred and that thing of revenge which came into his mind, he did such ghastly acts after that. The whole thing that followed was a reaction to Draupadi's laughing. That one small laughter he could not forgive, and there was such so much bloodshed because of that. Then it breaks relationships. When we have this poison, this hatred within our heart, relationships are broken. We see today there is divorce, There are fights between brothers, between relatives. Why? Because they don't have the ability to forgive one another. They hold it and they just carry on with it. Then spiritual values. Spiritual values are lost or they are perverted. We see that in the name of so-called religion today, we see religious bigotry, we see terrorism. Why? Because they take up small things and harbor hatred against each other. And then they fight and so much bloodshed and the essential values of that religion are lost. They are kept aside. So in today's world, the motto or the principle is what? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So what's going to happen? Eventually, the whole world is going to become blind and without teeth, toothless. Imagine, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth means eventually everybody is going to lose their teeth. But we see that the saints have given us such beautiful teachings. Jesus Christ, He told His disciples that if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you should give the other. We'll have an experiment once. Half girls on one side and half girls on the other and we'll try out this. It's very difficult, I know. But we have to understand the principle that just by retaliating or just by taking revenge, we don't achieve anything. So we should learn the art of forgiveness. If we want to be happy, if we want to be peaceful, if we want to have good, strong relationships, we have to learn the art of forgiveness. So why should we forgive? We say, why should I forgive? She spoke like this to me. Why should I forgive? No, what's the, she should forgive or she should improve. Why should, if I forgive, she will never improve, right? Generally, we have that argument. If every time I forgive, then she will never improve. So why should I forgive? Can anyone tell me why we should forgive? Nobody? Why should we forgive? What is the need to forgive? Pardon? We are not? Yeah, because by not forgiving, we are harming ourselves. Very nice. Anybody else? Very nice. Because we also want forgiveness from God. Anybody else? Very nice. To avoid further conflicts. Anyone else? Very nice. An opportunity to develop our love. You have covered all the points that I had taken. If anybody has any other points? Anyone else? So the first point that I took was what you said, that it is a bridge for forgiveness. It is said that if we don't forgive, then we are actually burning the bridge that we have to cross in order to be forgiven. If we don't forgive, then the Lord will not forgive us. Jesus Christ, He prayed that, Oh Lord, please forgive me just as I forgive others. If we don't forgive, how can we expect that we will be forgiven? There is a saying in English, people in glass houses should not throw stones. If we are finding fault in others, that means we think we are perfect. If we are conscious that we have faults, then we will not be so judgmental in finding faults and judging others harshly. We will be more forgiving. Because we will realize, okay, this person has one leg missing, but I have one arm missing. She has a fault, even I have a fault. When one prostitute came in front of Jesus Christ and she asked Him for, you know, shelter, so all the people were throwing stones at her. So at that time He told all those priests and people who were throwing stones, Jesus Christ told them that if any one of you have not sinned, then you may pick up the first stone. And then one by one they all went off. So if we are conscious that we ourselves have committed so many mistakes, and we still are, and we will in the future also, because we are not perfect, and we expect that others should forgive us, then why shouldn't we forgive others? If we want to be forgiven, first we must learn to forgive. Second thing is what somebody here said about our own health, that it liberates us from the poison. When we forgive, we are liberated from that toxic poison that is detrimental to our emotional, physical and spiritual health. It is said that if we withhold the free choice to forgive someone, we actually remain a victim of whoever has abused us. We are only a victim until we can get that poison out of ourselves through the art of forgiveness. It's up to us whether we decide to remain a victim of abuse or not. The moment we forgive, we don't remain a victim anymore. But if we keep holding that coal, we remain a victim. So when we forgive, what happens? When we give the gift of forgiveness to that person, our own wounds get healed. When we forgive somebody, it heals our own wounds. That's why we should forgive. Chanakya Pandit, the great philosopher, and he was brilliant, very intelligent. He gave so many analogies to explain so many things. So he said that the beauty of a lady is in her chastity. Even an ugly person will be known for his knowledge. And he said the beauty of a saint lies in his forgiveness. A saintly person is characterized by his forgiveness, his ability to forgive. Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, he gave a very, very nice sentence in the Krishna book. He said that the greatness of a person can be estimated by how he can tolerate provoking situations. That if some difficulty comes in our life, and if we can tolerate, and if we can forgive, then it means we are great. Just by sitting on a throne, we don't become great. Or just by getting some mundane achievements, we don't become great. How much we can tolerate, how much we can forgive, that will estimate how great we are. So it may appear sometimes that, oh, this person is a coward, that's why he is just an escapist, that's why he is forgiving. He doesn't want to take up the, cudgels and fight. That's why he is just escaping. But actually, it is, if you need to be brave to forgive. Mahatma Gandhi said that the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. That means when we are able to forgive, that is true victory. We see in the examples of so many great kings. Maharaj Yudhishthir, Duryodhana troubled him so much, but Yudhishthir never retaliated. In fact, once the four brothers, they were telling Yudhishthir, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakul, Sadev, they told Yudhishthir that, we have to do something to this Duryodhana. He's too much. He's troubling us too much. So Yudhishthir told them that if we start behaving like him, then we have lost. Then we will get the contagious disease of envy from him. We don't want to become like him. So another story is there of the sadhu and the scorpion. That once, one sadhu, he was doing his Gayatri in the Ganges River. And then he took the water of the Ganga to offer back. And when he took the water, he found a scorpion in his hand. And he thought, oh, this scorpion will drown. So let me put the scorpion on land. So he slowly was walking back towards the shore and the scorpion bit him. So naturally, the natural reaction was, it fell from his hand back into the water. So again he picked it up to save it. And again it bit him. So this happened many times. So somebody asked him, the scorpion is biting you again and again. Why do you even bother to save it? So the sadhu said that in spite of danger to its own life, this scorpion is not giving up its dharma. What is the dharma of a scorpion? To bite. So when this scorpion is not giving up its own dharma or nature to bite, why should I give up my nature to save? As a sadhu, I am supposed to be compassionate. So why should I give up my nature? I will do what I have to do. Let the scorpion do whatever it is doing. So that is the nature of a great person. That a great person can tolerate provoking situations. So now, we spoke about why forgiveness is needed, what it does for our relationships, what happens when we don't forgive. Now we will discuss of how to forgive. We hear so many stories about forgiveness, but actually when it comes, when we are put in that situation that we have to actually forgive, we find it very difficult. It's very difficult to remove that grudge from our heart. Sometimes we may forgive, but we don't forget. Right? And again when something happens, again that fire is ignited and again we become upset and we become disturbed over those things. So the first thing, if we, how does Krishna consciousness help us in this art of forgiveness? In what way does spirituality help us to forgive? Because when we come to Krishna consciousness, the first thing we learn is that, before start telling you this, I'll tell you one joke. I had heard this joke many years back. Okay? Once, there was one man standing in a marketplace. And everybody was beating him. Somebody was throwing eggs on him, somebody was throwing stones on him, somebody was hitting him with chappals, and they were shouting loudly, "Maro Kartar Singh ko, maro!" And they were just thrashing him. And this man was just standing very peacefully. So somebody came to him and they said, "Are, you know, they are beating you so much, why aren't you saying anything or protesting?" He said, "Ye to Kartar Singh ko mare, main to Gulpreet Singh hu." So it's a joke, but the fact is that actually, when we realize that I am not this body, I am the soul, then we don't get so much affected by the trials and tribulations that happen in our life. Why do we get angry? Because we identify with this body, mind, ego. So when someone gets angry with us, or someone says something to us, or somebody harms us, we immediately become upset. But the great saints, because they have realized that they are not this body, so they don't get so much disturbed. So the first process towards forgiveness is to realize who we are. That we are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. The one who is to be forgiven and the one who is forgiving, both are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Second is to be grateful. We all need to learn how to be grateful. All of us, I'm sure all of you know about the laws of karma, that for every action there is an equal reaction. As you sow, so shall you reap. So all of us in our past lives have performed certain activities because of which we get reactions. Srila Prabhupada used to say that if you take the credit for something which you have not done, be sure that you will be blamed for something you have not done. So if you are blamed for something you have not done, you should immediately understand that at some point, maybe in this life or last, I had taken credit for something which I had not done. That is why now I am getting blamed for something that I have not done. So nothing happens by chance. It is all a reaction to our karma. So whatever is happening in our life is a karmic reaction. So a devotee of the Lord understands this, that whenever there is some difficult situation happening in my life, it is a reaction to my karma. And to get that reaction, somebody has to be an instrument, right? It's like if you did something wrong and now you have to get a reaction. So somebody has to be used by the laws of nature to give you that reaction. So the person who is talking rudely to you or the person who is behaving badly with you is actually an instrument of your own karma. Srila Prabhupada used to say that don't be angry with the instrument of your karma. When someone behaves with us in a particular way, if we understand that I'm just getting back what I must have done, nothing happens by chance. That much we can be sure of. Nothing happens by chance. If we have done it to somebody, only then it will happen to us. So we should understand that. And yet, we should be grateful to the Lord. Why we should be grateful to the Lord? Once we have taken to devotional service, it is said that if we have so much karma, so much bad karma, Krishna minimizes it. He makes it only small. All of you have seen Vitthal Dev, Lord Vitthal of Pandharpur. How many have seen? How does he stand? Like this, right? It is explained that why Lord Vitthal is standing like this. He is explaining that actually this ocean of birth and death, this material, this Bhavsagar is very deep. It is impossible for you to cross it. But his hands are like this. That means he's indicating to his lotus feet that when you take shelter of my feet, then the water becomes so much. Only waist deep. You can easily cross it. So the Lord, he minimizes our sinful reactions. If we left to our own, we would maybe suffer eternally because of the sins that we have committed. We don't remember, but we have. But once we take to devotional service, they become very much less. So we realize that actually maybe I should have suffered much more. शायद हाथ कटना था उंगली कट गई यू नो सो देन वी बिकम ग्रेटफुल दैट वॉट एवर इज हैपनिंग इन माई लाइफ इज जस्ट अ मिनिमल रिएक्शन फॉर वॉट आई हैव डन इन माई पास्ट लाइफ एंड वी आर ग्रेटफुल टू द लॉर्ड दैट ओ माई लॉर्ड वॉट एवर इज हैपनिंग इज गिविंग मी एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू लर्न समथिंग इट इज गिविंग मी एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू फॉरगिव एंड वेन वी फॉरगिव वी बिकम डियर टू द लॉर्ड इफ समबडी डिड नॉट टॉक रूडली टू यू कुड यू हैव फॉरगिवन नो सो यू वुड नॉट हैव द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू फॉरगिव इफ समबडी वुड नॉट बिहेव बैडली विद यू राइट एंड एवरी टाइम यू आर गेटिंग एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू फॉरगिव अंडरस्टैंड दैट यू आर बिकमिंग डियर टू द लॉर्ड The Lord is very, very pleased with you because He is seeing that you are actually controlling your emotions and you are forgiving. You are controlling your lower nature and you are forgiving. Nindainya, that is humility. We have to cultivate the quality of humility. What does humility mean? That we become conscious that I am myself fully laden with faults. I have so many weaknesses. I have so many faults, so what right do I have to find faults with others or to point out, instead when we point one finger at others, the rest are pointing towards us. So humility means to realize that actually I have no qualification. I don't deserve anything. I also have so many faults, so what right I have to find faults with others. So I must forgive in order to be forgiven. Then is compassion. Compassion is a very, very important quality. Why is it an important quality? It is said that bhakti is our affection for the Lord. Bhakti or devotion is our affection for the Lord. But daya or compassion is our affection for the living entities, for all humanity, who is a part and parcel of the Lord. That is why the Lord is very, very pleased when we practice daya. He is happy when we practice bhakti, but he is even more happy when we practice daya or compassion. So the saintly people, they see good in others because they have compassion. They see that spark of the Lord. Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he was told that you go and find somebody who is bad, he couldn't find anybody who was bad. He only found himself to be bad because he was seeing good in everyone. He saw everyone as part of Krishna, so he could not find bad in anyone. Next is a very, very important point that if we realize that everyone is a product of their own circumstances, then we will not judge so harshly. What do we mean? There is one story which our Guru Maharaj mentions that many years back, there was one lawyer, a prosecuting lawyer in the US. He was a very, very powerful lawyer. And once he somehow made a case against one prostitute who was caught dealing in drugs. And he got her, he made a charge sheet against her and she got 20 years in prison. And then she said to him, I want to meet you and talk to you. So he went to meet her and she said, I know you can't do anything now. I have this 20 years in prison, but I want to tell you something. So she told him that how she has gone through such a horrible childhood. She was abused. And when she grew up, she got married to somebody who again abused her. She had 3 children and she had no money. She didn't know how to raise the children. She said, this was the only thing I could do in order to somehow raise my children and see to it that they don't die of starvation. So I just wanted to tell you my side of it. I know I will have to be in jail and there's nothing that can be done. So this man was so much moved by what this woman told him, that he changed. From a prosecuting attorney, he became a defense attorney. He decided, I will only take up cases which are genuine, where I really feel that the people are doing something because of their circumstances. They have been forced to behave. They are not naturally bad. They are actually repentant, but their circumstances or their upbringing is forcing them to behave in a particular way. So we should also understand that sometimes people behave in a particular way because of their upbringing or because of their circumstances. Maybe we are fortunate enough to have a good upbringing or good circumstances, but everybody may not be so fortunate. So they may behave or they may have certain conditioning. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. they may have certain conditionings which forces them to behave in a particular way. That is why before we judge anybody, we should always see that what situation that person is in that may have forced that person to behave in a particular way before judging. The next point is detachment. We have to cultivate detachment. Detachment from what? We should have a desire to serve and not to exploit. If we have a desire to serve, then it becomes very easy to forgive. When we want to serve, then we don't judge. We only serve. We don't judge others. So we have to become, we should have a service attitude. And the last point is that we should see the Lord's hand in every situation. That when something happens in our life, one thing is that it's happening because of karma, but another thing is that the Lord may desire it to happen. The classic story is of Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj went to the forest, he was thirsty and he saw Samik Rishi sitting in meditation. And he asked him for water, but Samik Rishi was so much deep in trance, he didn't hear. So Parikshit Maharaj got angry and he just picked up a dead snake that was lying there and wrapped it around his neck. Samik Rishi still, when he woke up, he realized and he begged forgiveness from the king. Meanwhile, the Rishi's son, Sringi, who was a young lad, he was very passionate. When he came to know, he became so angry, he immediately sipped water and cursed the king. He said, this king will die in 7 days. He will be bitten by the snake bird Takshak and he will die. So the Rishi was shocked actually, Samik Rishi, when he heard that his son gave such a curse. And he was very sorry. But Parikshit Maharaj didn't do anything. He had the power to counteract the curse. He had the power to curse again, curse that boy. But what did he do? He just saw that maybe this is the Lord's will. He left everything. He went to the bank of the Ganges. And then for 7 days he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukhdev Goswami. So we should also learn to see that the things that happen in our life may be a will of the Lord. And we should learn to accept. And if we see that something is happening because it's the Lord's desire, we will not blame the person. We will see the Lord's hand in that situation. The Lord can use anybody, you know, to fulfill His desire, to get His things done. So we should not blame those people. We should understand it is the Lord's desire that this should happen in my life. Finally, I conclude by saying that the Lord Himself exemplifies this compassion and this forgiveness. The Lord, as Kalindi Mataji said, that the Lord gives and forgives. He is forgiving us time and again. There are so many examples, we don't have time. But there's a story of Shishupal where Krishna forgave him again and again and again and again. Right? So many times he forgave him. And then after 100 times he cut off Shishupal's neck. So you may say, okay, even I'll forgive 100 times and then I will cut off somebody's neck. But no, even in killing Shishupal, the Lord delivered him. Because after that, Shishupal got mukti. He got liberation. Because when the Lord kills, that is also His compassion. He delivered Shishupal. He killed Putana, but He gave her the position of a nurse in Golok Vrindavan. There is a story of Bhrigu Muni, where Bhrigu Muni wanted to find out who is the most compassionate, who is the greatest, supreme most. So he went to first Brahma, and he spoke very rudely to him. And he realized that Brahma got angry, but Brahma controlled. Then he went to Shiva, and Shiva picked up his trident, because Bhrigu was very rude to him. But again, Bhrigu realized that Shiva got angry, but he controlled. And then he went to Vishnu and directly went and kicked him on the chest. Very hard. And Lord Vishnu stroked his foot and said, your feet are so soft and my chest is so hard. I'm sorry if you have got hurt. So then Bhrigu realized that this is real compassion. This is the greatest. He didn't get angry because the greatness of a person is estimated by how he can tolerate provoking situation. So the Lord by His own example teaches us how to be forgiving and compassionate. So if we need to have this quality in us, then we have to associate with saintly people. We have to chant the holy names of the Lord. Because the Lord has this quality in full. And the Lord is not different from His holy name. So when we hear about Krishna, when we chant His holy names, when we eat His prasad, then what happens? Slowly, 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 we also start imbibing those qualities in small amounts. So if we really want to practice the art of forgiveness, we can show our desire. We may not be able to immediately put it into practice, but at least we can have the desire. The Lord sees the intention. If we pray to the Lord that, yes Lord, I want to learn how to forgive, the Lord is in your heart. He is seeing your intention. The moment you express your desire to Him, He starts helping you. He will give you the intelligence how to do it. He will give you the strength and determination to do it. So let us all pray to Lord Krishna during this kirtan. Let us meditate on this, that please, my Lord, please allow me to take shelter of your holy names. Whenever I am in a situation where I am hurt, I am terribly hurt, I am very angry, I am full of hatred, at that point let me be able to put aside all those negative feelings and just remember you. And by remembering you, I can get over those negative feelings and go ahead in my spiritual life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Radharani Mataji. I hope you all are very happy, and we can, all our team, girls team can surely tell you that we trouble her so many times and she has always forgiven us. It's okay. Anybody has any questions?
Hare Krishna. When I said detachment, it means we do our duties without being attached to the fruit. Like sometimes we may do some service, or we do, supposing I serve you, okay, I do some service for you, and then I start expecting that because I have served you, you should also serve me. That means I am attached to the fruit of my action. I have immediately formed so many expectations. I gave you a gift, you know, on your birthday, and you didn't give me anything. That means I'm not doing it selflessly. I'm attached. I'm not doing it as a service. When we are spiritual, then we realize that actually, this is what our Guru Maharaj tells us, that when we do something for someone, if that person accepts it from us, that person by accepting has given us a chance to serve. So we should be grateful to that person. We should not think I am doing a great favor. It's like if I have called Kirti for prasad to my house, which I haven't, it's an omission on my part. If I have called Kirti to my house for prasad, and she comes and eats prasad in my house, and then she doesn't call me for prasad. So I start thinking, look, I called her, I made so many items, and this girl hasn't called me for prasad. That means I am expecting, I am attached. What is detachment? To actually understand why I am calling her for prasad. Because a devotee is said to be the mouth of Lord Vishnu. When a devotee comes and accepts prasad in your house, it means the Lord has accepted that prasad. The Lord eats through the mouth of the devotees. So by coming and eating that prasad in my house, she has given me an opportunity to serve the Lord. So I should be grateful to her. I should not expect. That is the meaning of being detached. That we serve without any expectations. We serve only for the sake of serving and not for exploiting or not for getting anything in return. When we can have that type of service, then we don't get angry. Then it is very easy to forgive. Even if somebody doesn't do anything for you, you are thinking, I don't deserve it anyway. So there's no question of forgiving. Who am I to forgive? I didn't deserve it anyway. I don't expect anything from anybody. Then you can forgive. When you expect that, yes, I deserve this from this person, I did so much and she didn't do this for me, then what happens? Then there is resentment. Then there is conflict. But if we can serve with detachment, without expecting anything in return, then there is a less chance of conflict. and it becomes much easier to forgive because you didn't have any expectation while serving. Clear? Yeah, because we have just started, right? We have just started with the process. So the very fact that you have forgiven, that means you already begun. Well begun is half done. So slowly, slowly it will become very natural for you to forgive. Right now we are forgiving on a very superficial level. On the level of our intelligence. It is not from our heart. Because we know superficially that yes, it is good for me to forgive. So we are forgiving. Because there isn't natural humility in our heart. Right? When we start believing that actually I don't deserve anything and that everything belongs to the Lord and that I don't deserve anything, then naturally we forgive. Because we don't expect anything from anybody. But right now it's just on the mental platform. If someone gets angry with me or speaks rudely to me, even if I say yes, you know, I should be humble, but that humility is just on the mental platform. It's not spontaneous. It's not from the heart. But when that comes from the heart, then we will forget and forgive. Both will come. So at least we have to start with the practice. And that will come when the Lord gives it to us. When He sees we are sincerely trying, then one day He will just give. And one day then it will happen. The Lord will give. When we chant regularly, we hear, we get purified, and then one day we will find that, oh, now I'm not getting so angry anymore. I'm not harboring such negative feelings in my heart anymore. Then we can forgive and forget. But even if you can't forget, if you're at least trying to forgive, the Lord has noted that. The Lord has noted for, and you will get, it is said in the Quran, there is one saying that if you are able to forgive your enemy and reconcile with your enemy, that you will be rewarded by the Lord Himself. So He will reward you. He will reward you by giving you more and more strength to forgive, maybe.